no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
Good fortune to be talking with Amanda Peters, who is actually in El Salvador, and she went down as a delegation for CISPES, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, as an official observer of the elections this weekend, the first round, I think. Thanks for talking to us, Amanda. How is it there? Is everyone excited with the results?
You know, it's I kind of get the feeling that there's a little bit of a give and take with the emotions about the elections. On the one hand, the gains for the left were great in the Legislative Assembly. They are predicting to gain about 37 or 38 seats, which would give them a majority there over Arena, the ruling party, which I think they're predicting about 31 or 32. Seats in the Legislative Assembly, but you know, there was pretty much a big upset here in San Salvador. The current mayor, who is with the FMLN, Violeta Menivar, was expected to win. She had about a 15-point lead, and they were, you know, sort of thinking that, you know, that was pretty much fraud-proof. And right now, I think, like I said, they've counted about 50% of the votes here in San Salvador, last I heard. And Norman Quijano, the Arena candidate, was about 3,500 votes ahead. So, you know, the FMLN has sort of accepted the fact that they may have lost the capital, which I think is, again, really disheartening for a lot of people here.
I know that last week, in the lead-up to the elections, there was great concerns about the possibility of fraud and or violence. Now, as an observer, did you see any indications of that?
Absolutely. You know, there's the aspect of fraud on sort of the local, you know, level within each municipality, and fraud that actually occurs at the voting tables, in terms of people buying votes, in terms of you know, people voting twice. But really, I think something that we've kind of witnessed is that there's this real institutionalized fraud that occurred with the list of voters who have been registered, and with the identification cards that were issued. Like right now, the biggest problem is that there's all this evidence of people having been bused into El Salvador from countries like Honduras and Nicaragua and Guatemala, who were then issued with DUIs or identification cards, and were able to vote here. But in terms of the smaller fraud that we witnessed, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, you have all these people at the voting tables, and it's pretty chaotic. There's a lot of people around, and so it's really hard to sort of make sure that people are voting in private, and that different vigilantes and different parties are not assisting them with the votes. You know, there's definitely a lot of fraud was witnessed. I was just going to say, you know, we sort of, our delegation was split in two, so that we had some people in San Salvador, in the capital, and then the rest of us, including myself, were in El Paraíso, which is a small town in the municipality of Chalatenango. So the experience was really different, I think, in terms of what we saw and what we witnessed. For example, in Chalatenango, the biggest issue and the thing that we were told as soon as we got there was that the padrón had about 7,000 people on it, but there are only about 4,000 people who actually live in the town, which means that there's about 3,000 people who are either deceased or who now live in the United States or, you know, other countries, who were on there, meaning that if you know, identification cards are issued for those people, they can be, you know, given to others being bused in. And so people in the town were basically saying to us that there were these buses coming in from parties, ARENA and the PCN, two of the parties on the right, who were bringing in people from other municipalities, and they knew that because they know everyone in the town, you know, they know the faces.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of, was there any kind of reaction to you as an observer? Were the international observers reasonably well accepted?
Pretty much. You know, it's a really difficult position to be in because, you are working to accompany people in the process of the elections, and having international observers is something that was mandated in the peace accords in 92. But it's a difficult position to be in because you really are separated. And walking around with a notepad and a pen, and in addition, taking photos of fraud that you witness, it's hard. I think there are some who are thankful that we're there, and then there are some, kind of want to know why we're there and what right we have to be involved. It's definitely depends on the person. And as members of CSPES, we were there as neutral observers, but at the same time we were being housed by members of the FMLN, so it was sort of, we weren't really, unfortunately, in the small town, when we were sort of brought to the voting booths by people and members of the party come up and chat with us, and so we try to really, really go around and chat with all members of different parties, and so that we held onto the fact that we are here as neutral observers.
And I guess so that in spite of apparent or quite strong evidence of a bit of fiddling with the vote, it's quite a remarkable victory for the FMLN. Perhaps you might want to just say briefly for our listeners what it means for the FMLN to have a majority in the Assembly.
A couple of things. It really does give people a bit of momentum for the presidential elections. I think a lot of people in this country really are looking for a change in what's going on, and so I think that that does give people a bit of hope. And additionally, the idea that they do have a control in the Assembly, I think makes people a little more able to, to believe that if the FMLN does win the presidency, that they'll be able to have a stronger effect there. I think it's a really positive thing, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I guess you're going to be there for the presidential elections. Would you like to speculate on how that might go?
Well, it's quite nerve-wracking, honestly. Like I said, there was in San Salvador with the mayoral election, the FMLN candidate Violeta Menard had a 15 or 14 point lead, which the FMLN sort of thought that was fraud proof, and she lost, or again, the votes have not officially been counted, but I think the FMLN has sort of accepted that she did not win San Salvador. And the sort of emotion or attitude that we were getting before the elections was, that there is the same lead with the presidential elections in the left party, and the idea again was that the way that people were sort of talking about it was after we win, and they were sort of addressing it in terms of like, well, after the presidency, and then talking about the next step, as if it was imminent. And they really didn't think that there could be so much fraud that would basically, that wouldn't allow that 15-point lead to make a difference in that. So for me, it's a little nerve-wracking, but there is still a lot of confidence in the party. And so now they've sort of just upped the ante a bit with how many people they are looking to get support from and are really I think their next step is really to target a lot of the undecided voters as well, which mm-hmm. again, with the lead in the Legislative Assembly, I think that will really help some of those undecided voters to feel that the FMLN can really make it here.
Mm. Well, yeah. Oh, well, keep safe and congratulations on the work you're doing there, and thank you very much for talking to Community Radio, Amanda.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.